Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Good evening, everyone. Special welcome to the team over from the States, right? Oh, there we go. It's good to have you guys with us tonight. Trust that you have a blessed time in our service today. If you are joining us for the first time as well, a special welcome to you. This evening, we are continuing in a series through the book of Proverbs. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, looking at different topics that stand out in the book. And we've been teaching on those topics. We've covered pride. We've covered wealth and greed. We've covered laziness. We've covered love and hate. And tonight we'll look at a doctrine that I love so dearly, and that is the doctrine of providence. And I've posed it as a question: is God in control of our decisions? Is God in control of our decisions? To what extent is God sovereign? To what extent is God sovereign? What is the scope of God's control over our lives? As we think about this question, there's many other questions that come to mind. Is there such a thing as coincidence in this life? Can things just happen? Can things just happen at the right place at the wrong time? Or do bad things just happen because you are at the wrong place at the wrong time? How about specifically you who is studying? How do you know that the course that you are currently taking in university is the course that God has designed for you to take? How do you know that you are fulfilling the will of God in the studies that you are currently doing? I've briefed them and I will ask the question, Fernando, how do you know that Carissa is the girl for you? How do you know that she's the right one, the one that God has willed for you to marry? I was going to ask Matepo and Tolamo, but they're not here. What about you who's working? How do you know that the job that you are currently doing is within the will of God for you? Is it possible that as you are fulfilling your life and as you are going about making plans and making decisions, that you are currently in a place that God has not ordained for you, and what God is currently doing is He's currently scrambling to rewrite history? He's currently scrambling to bring you back into place so you find yourself back into His will. To what extent is God sovereign? If you've been a Christian for a while, you probably know there's a quote by A.W. Tozer. In fact, it's not a quote, it's an illustration that he uses to explain providence. A.W. Tozer believed that providence was like a cruise ship. He says the ship's final destination is settled and certain, and he says that is providence. But then he says, but on the open water, what each does on the ship is open to our own volition. Is that true? Are we just on a huge ship that the final destination is what God wills for us, and on this ship we are free to do whatever we want? Well, what we'll see in this passage is that is not true. God is in control of not only the destination, but He's also in control of every event that happens in your life, to as small as you tripping over a stone. And Piper says, to something as small as you brushing your teeth. We hope that you do. But God is in control even over that. What I want to say today is we don't have complete self-determination. We will see in our sermon today that though we plan, even in our plans, there is someone who is in control. And so if you do have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 16 and we'll read verse 9. Proverbs 16, and we will read verse 9. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, very simple proverb, in fact you can memorize it. It says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us as we come to the preaching of his word. And so, Lord, even this sermon was predetermined by your wise counsel. Though I spent time preparing and studying, choosing the words to say and how to say them, but overall, God, you had prepared us for today. God, the timing of today, the people present in this room, all of them have come because you had predestined that they would be here to hear these words. So even in the words that I'm saying, your spirit is at work in our hearts, revealing truth in your word, helping us to apply them in our very season of life, that we can have a grander view of God and that we can live the life to which you have called us to live in total obedience and trust in you. And so, God, this evening I do ask that you would soften hearts here this evening, that they may hear and see the heart of Christ. Teach us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and help us to lean not on our own understanding. And as this sermon is preached, I ask that you would lead us to trust in the will of the Almighty God. And so I pray that you give me clarity of speech. I pray that you'd remove all distractions. I pray that you'd quieten our hearts and our minds that we may listen to what you have prepared for us. I ask as well that I wouldn't be a distraction, but I ask that in everything that happens here tonight, may you receive the glory. May your will be done. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And so I have two simple points. Point number one is man plans. Point number two is God governs. Man plans, God governs. And so let's look at point number one, man plans. We see this in chapter 16, verse 9a. It says, the heart of man plans his way. You see, the fact that you were created in the image of God means that you have the ability to think. God has given you the ability to reason. In fact, life demands that we make decisions. You had to make a decision to come here tonight. Tomorrow, you'll have to make a decision to go to work. You'll have to make a decision, please make this decision, to put clothes on. You'll have to decide who will you be friends with and who won't you be friends with. You'll have to decide who you're going to love. There are decisions, decisions, decisions. There are people who never want to make decisions because they believe in the sovereignty of God. And because they believe in the sovereignty of God, they believe that I don't have to make a decision because whatever God wills will come to pass anyway. That's not the point of this sermon. In fact, what we'll notice that our proverbial writer says, as he observes the world and how things unfold in the world, he's observed that people make decisions. He observes that man plans his ways. In fact, another proverb says, many are the plans in the mind of a man. Not only does man plans, but man makes many plans. Again, man plans to start a family. Some of you guys are planning to invest. Some of you guys have plans tomorrow, this week, to see people. Some of you guys after this are hoping that tonight is a shorter sermon because you plan to study. Some of you guys are working hard because you plan to repay your parents for all that they have done for you. Some of you guys are doing that, 75-something, where you're going to gym, you've changed your diet, you've made a plan. Plans, plans, plans. In James chapter 4, verse 13, we read, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You see, though that was a rebuke in James chapter 4, James is also acknowledging that people make plans. And so first, it's important to note that our author here is acknowledging that as we as mankind, we plan. And he's not saying that in planning that is sinful, and he's not saying in you planning that you are wrong. He's simply observing that man plans, but then he goes on to notice that though man plans, it is God who governs. But before we look at God who governs, I want us to consider this question. To what extent do we have freedom in the plans that we make? To what extent do you have freedom to make the choice that you make? Any decision that you make, do you feel that you had 100% control over that decision? We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life." Why does the proverbial writer think it is necessary to warn us to guard our hearts? Well, it's because our hearts are always influenced. It is either our hearts are influenced by the Spirit of God to do good, we learn from His Word, or our hearts are influenced by the flesh to do sin, which is evil. What I want us to know, even in the beginning of this sermon, is God is the only one who truly has self-determination. God is the only one who can make a decision 100% uninfluenced. God is the only one who has, in its truest sense, free will. Now, you've probably wondered about free will, and you've probably wondered, what is this free will? This is not the sermon where I talk about free will. But what I do want you to know is God is the only being who has absolute free will. Sorry, I lost my place here. So we all, because of sin, we are born with our wills and our plans tainted. Our wills and our plans have influences. Jeremiah chapter 17, we see that the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah is telling us that the heart is deceitful. The heart deceives us as we try to make plans and decisions, and its deceit leads to evil. In Genesis chapter 6, we read of an event just before the flood that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Paul in Romans chapter 7 verse 15 says, "For I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." And then in chapter 3 verse 12, the Apostle Paul also writes, "All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." See, all our thoughts, all our intentions have been influenced. Our central processing unit has been compromised. There is a virus that flows in our veins that impacts and affects our decision making and the way we see the world and everything in it. This virus also forces us to have a low view of God and a higher view of man. This virus forces us to have an internal battle within ourselves where we want to be God. And it's because of this virus that we are so easily opposed to God. In the garden, Adam and Eve were also not self-determining beings. The difference between Jabu and Adam is that Adam was created with an inclination to love and obey God. Eve was created with an inclination to love and obey God. But then we're introduced in Genesis chapter 3, but the serpent. Serpent in his craftiness. He offered Adam and Eve autonomy from God. He offered them the ability to choose themselves. Is that not what the world says? Do you, boo. Do what makes you happy. The serpent offered them the opportunity and the ability to choose themselves. He offered them an opportunity to be God. And now, because sin has come into the world, we have two potential influences. Two forces that pull us one direction or another. It is either your sinful flesh or it's either the Holy Spirit whom you have received at the point of your salvation. And so man plans, But the question is, who is influencing your plans? Why did you make the decision you made this week? Why did you make the decision you made today? Why do you make decisions generally? Our author says, he's observed that man plans his ways, but it is God who directs their steps. Though man may plan good or evil, all his plans are governed by God. Man plans, God governs. Jerry Bridges comments and he says this, as rational agents, talking about us as human beings, we think, we consult, we act freely. We are dependent agents, and the Lord exercises his own power in permitting, overruling, furthering our actions. Thus, man proposes, God disposes. Man plans, but God governs. And so let's look at my second point, God governs. We see this in the second part of verse 9 in Proverbs chapter 16. But the Lord establishes his steps. But the Lord directs his steps. As I typed this, I actually didn't have this part. And then I was on Instagram and I saw a video where the caption, I've been laughing the whole week. And the caption says, babies or toddlers always let the intrusive thoughts win. And I looked at Malachi and I just thought this is true. Because babies and toddlers think that they are invincible. Let me give you an example. They would stand at the edge of a cliff. Or they will stand in front of a raging fire. Or they would stand on the side of the N1. And what do you think is happening in their minds? Jump off the cliff. Touch the fire. Run in between the speeding cars. And what often happens in the minds of the baby is what they're going to do. Malachi will stand on the edge of the bed. He will look to the ground. And I can see he's already made the decision and he's going to jump. See, this thought got me thinking about providence. You see, parents will often run. In fact, all you have to do is during the sermon, just keep looking at the back there. You'll see parents like now running to save the baby from going to do something that could injure them or something that could be a distraction to everybody. Intrusive thoughts warn. But listen to the providence of God. This idea of providence basically means God before sees. God before sees. What does it mean? It means that God sees and knows what will come to pass. We know that God is all-knowing. But he doesn't just know what will happen like a man watching a movie or watching a series, but he works all things out to the counsel of his will, which means he will establish all that ever happens. God will see to it that things come to pass. So he doesn't just know what will happen, but he is actively involved in making sure that the things happen in accordance to his will. Now, back to Malachi. You see, Malachi has no idea that before he could eat, we had to go to work. He has no idea how many times he could have cut his eye, he could have bruised his head, he could have broken a bone, because we were always there to catch him. We would place our hands at the corner to cushion his bumps. We would, as he tries to go down the bed, we would almost hold his back to the bed so he doesn't fall too hard and hurt himself. We would often catch him or remove objects that would hurt him before he gets hurt. What does he do? He just goes about living his life. He makes decisions, and in his mind, he has made the right decisions. But what Malachi doesn't know is that we were actually establishing his steps. But like every illustration, this one also has a flaw. This one also falls flat in that there are times when we miss Malachi. There are times when you hear that loud bump. And as parents, you just go into panic mode. Is he hurt or is he dead? And so we run to help him. But this is not true of God. God never misses any moment. God is never asleep. God is never just watching, waiting to see you fall and then catch you afterwards. God is always actively involved, and He has made a decision whether something should come to pass. He never misses moments. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens that he misses. And God never says, "Oh, I forgot to be there." You see, the world does not rotate on an axis of chance. The world does not rotate just on coincidence. So you missing the bus, you bumping into somebody you've never seen in years, only for them to help you get a job. You narrowly escaping death because the doctor found out that you have cancer, or there's a toy stuck up in your nose. All of those short chances where you feel like you could have died and you were lucky, that's not luck. It is God. God has never and God will never relinquish His rule over creation. I'll say that again. God has never and God will never relinquish His control over creation. Do you think the serpent snuck into the garden unannounced, undetected? Was God surprised and thrown into panic when the chief of all His creation fell into sin, when they disobeyed Him? Was it coincidence that God so happened to be walking in the cool of the day right after Adam had sinned? Was it coincidence that Moses' basket floated right to Pharaoh's pond where Pharaoh's maidens were bathing? Was it coincidence that the Ishmaelites so happened to pass by the pit that Joseph's brothers had thrown him into? Was it simply his integrity and his hard work that got him a promotion into Potiphar's house? Was it coincidence that Rahab was there to help Joseph and the spies? Or what about Jesus? Was it coincidence that Jesus stumbles upon two brothers who were fishing and He calls them to become apostles? Was it coincidence that you are here tonight listening to this sermon? Friends, God had allowed for all of those instances. God has allowed for you to be here. God has allowed for everything that happens in your life. And in some instances, He didn't just allow it, He made sure it happened. Like when the Spirit led Jesus into the garden so that Jesus would have an encounter with Satan and Jesus would be tempted by Satan. That was providence. John Piper says, "The Bible sweepingly says that everything human beings do is in the end the will of God. Nothing in the universe is random. Nothing in the universe is without divine design and purpose." Lamentations chapter 3 verse 37 says this: "Who has spoken and it came to pass? Unless the Lord has commanded it." We need to believe that God is God, friends. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchanging. He is either there. He is other than. There is nothing that we have seen, that we know, that is like God. And because He is greater than all things, His ways are not ours. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? Nothing is more important or greater than God. No one deserves more honor than God. Can I tell you that God always chooses God? Every time, in every instance, God chooses God. Do you know what that means practically? It means that God can absolutely change the course of your life without your permission. God does not need your approval or your applause. Friends, we are creatures. You are a creature. And though we are more valuable to God than beasts and creeping things, though we are more valuable to God than a lion and a cockroach, we are still creatures. We are His creatures. Job conceded, "I know that You can do all things and that no purpose of Yours can be thwarted." They cannot be upset. They cannot be frustrated. The NKJV says that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Friends, God does what he wants, when he wants, and where, and whichever way he wants to do it outside of sin. And so, friends, both the righteous and the unrighteous are creatures created by God. One has a relationship with him as a father, and they experience full blessing, and they experience the wonders of his marvelous grace. They will live with him in heaven forever, free from sin, enjoying God, being in his presence, because they believed in Jesus Christ. Whilst the others, they will not have a personal relationship with him. Though they enjoy his benevolence, though the unrighteous, the wicked, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they will still enjoy food. Food is delicious for the person who hates God and for the person who loves God. It's delicious. They'll still enjoy food, they'll still enjoy drink, they'll still enjoy friendship, marriage, sex, children. They'll enjoy these things in part. They cannot enjoy them as they were to enjoy them to the glory of God, because they will neglect God for these good things, and they'll never give thanks to him as God for these good gifts, because they'll always worship the creature over the creator. They'll find themselves having gained the whole world but lost their souls. You guys might be aware, not all of you, some of you, there was an actor that passed away by the name of Mpho. He was a famous actor and a presenter, and he passed away in a car accident. Now, I happened to stumble upon a video on YouTube where one of his friends was explaining the events that led to his passing. And this is what his friend shares. His friend goes and says, Mpho wasn't planning on traveling with him. He had work commitments. He had a workshop to attend. And we had said to him that we understand work is work, so go to work. And so Mpho canceled his involvement in our trip, only to later call them back and say that he is coming. He arrived after the group had landed, and they had fun. They drank till the early hours of the morning. Then Mpho decided, after being warned not to, they told him the roads are bad in this side of town. But he decided still to drive home whilst they were sleeping, because they say he snuck out. And then they found out he was involved in a car accident. Here's the point. The friend goes on to say that it was in a short space of time that they have just recently buried one of their friends. But listen to the important detail. The other friend also died on a Sunday at 5:30. The same day, the same time as imported. What do you think happens in the mind of the friends when they listen to a story like this? They ask questions like, is this coincidence? We live in a world where many will wonder, do we have bad luck? Is there bad juju in our friendship that we need to be mindful of? Have we been bewitched? Is there witchcraft that has been performed against us? And who is next? Maybe our ancestors are angry at us and they are looking for our attention. Surely something is not right. See, when I listened to this, I thought this was a great illustration. It was a great illustration of man planning his ways. You see, Mpho had planned to join his friends, to enjoy a weekend with his friends, and then he had planned to quickly head home to fulfill his other commitments. But God established his steps. His time of passing had come. Friends, the primary reason why Mpho had died was because God had ordained it. His time on earth had come to an end. The angel of death, as it were, had come to collect him. The secondary cause of his death was probably he was drinking and driving, or still drunk from the night before. Probably he was texting or driving. Hey, it could have even been witchcraft, but the point is, it was God who ordained his death. You see, human beings are responsible and accountable and praiseworthy and blameworthy for what they do. God's sovereignty does not diminish human accountability. But human actions do not alter the will of God. My friend, if God had ordained that your hour to die is at 7:01, then my friend, at 7:01, you're going home. God is transcendent in all his glory, but he's also immanent. Friends, God is involved in the changing of seasons. Some of us are complaining, what happened to autumn? I'm an autumn baby, but I haven't had autumn. I've just had winter. God is involved in the changing of seasons. If you are going bald, God is involved in that too. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. So he allowed for the hair to fall off. So it's okay. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Friends, those pigeons in Marabastad. So the reason why Jesus uses pigeons and he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Is because sparrows meant nothing to people. Those pigeons in Marabastad, so those ones in town, those ones that are not scared of people, those ones that have one eye and one toe. Even those dirty birds are under the control of our Heavenly Father. Nothing happens to those birds that God hasn't ordained. Friends, God is in control. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You have no reason to doubt Him because He's in control. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on the world's understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God and He will make your path straight. Trust God. Trust God. And so I'm closing, and here's my point. Live in the reality that God is in absolute control of your life. Live in the reality that God is in absolute control of your life. And can I say something? That is not something to fear about if you're a believer. If you're a believer, you should actually be more afraid if you had control of your own destiny. You should be more afraid if your life was dependent on chance. But as one who is born again, this should give you every reason to rejoice and live in praise to God and live in peace, because the God of this universe is your Father. Not only is He just your Father, He is your good Father. He is the good shepherd, and in His goodness, He directs the affairs of your life. Oh, believer, worship God. Worship God, for you live in a world where the infinitely good, the infinitely wise, the infinitely powerful God works things together for the good of those who trust Him for His glory. So though you do not understand like Job, though you do not understand why suffering has come upon you, though you may not understand, why are you not married yet? Why does it feel like God has left me on the shelf to fend for myself? Though you do not understand why you failed again in school, or maybe you don't understand why can't you have money to pay for your school fees? Or maybe you don't understand why your family can't believe in Jesus. Maybe it burdens you that your mother or your sister or your brother or your child has rejected Jesus, and this bothers you. Maybe you don't understand that. Or maybe you don't understand why you're suffering. Or maybe you don't understand why your mom or your dad died whilst you were still young. Maybe you don't understand why your spouse had died and left you alone. Or maybe you just don't understand why you are blessed with so much whilst you know of close, close, dear friends who suffer with want. Friends, though you do not understand these things, my encouragement to you tonight is rest assured that in all this, God is good. And what you have received, God has deemed to be good right now. What you have lost, what you have not received, or what you have gained, you have received these things or not received these things or lost these things in the wisdom of a good God who says that this is good. You may not understand it. You may even struggle to believe it. But I want to encourage you tonight to trust in God. God is far wiser than we are. God is much gooder, that's not a word, but He is far more good than we are. He is far more gracious than we will never be. And friends, listen to this. He will not allow for evil without a purpose. And so to close, in James chapter 4, it says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" And so as I close, do not be arrogant into thinking that your plans are gold. Do not be arrogant into thinking that your plans are set in stone. But plan. The sermon was not a sermon on not planning. Plan. But know that even your plans, God will establish. But in your plans, God will establish your steps. It is only if He wills that your plans will come to pass. It is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So plan. Plan that He would direct your steps. Pray that your desires are His desires. Pray that your heart is aligned with the heart of God, that whatever He delights in for you, that is what you are praying for. But then, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to the God who rules over all things. Man plans, but God governs. And so, believer, you have every reason to hope that even when bad things happen on this world, our good God is in control. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is true, for your word, Lord, which endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that we can be those who by your Spirit we can read your word and be encouraged by it. And so, God, I do pray that as we have learned about your sovereignty, that God, you'd help us to believe that God is God. Help us to believe that our God is in control, and Lord, may that be a reason to praise. Because when you look at the world is filled with so much uncertainty. You know, there is no peace in this world. But thank you that we have a God who is unchanging, a God who is eternal, and a God who is infinite. And so God, even as bad things happen to us, as those who believe, we can be assured that this will work out for our good. And so God, even as some have listened to this sermon, and Lord, there may be a stirring in their hearts. Lord, either they haven't believed in your sovereignty and now they're struggling to do so. I ask that you would soften their hearts, God, that they would have you be sitting on the throne of their hearts, living with you as King, and Lord, acknowledging you as God. But I do also want to acknowledge those who are struggling here among us, Lord, be with whatever. I pray, Lord, that this sermon will be an encouragement to them, that our good God does not allow for purposeless evil. Our good God, even in our moments of suffering, even in our moments of waiting, He remains good, and what we have right now is for our good. And so, God, we wait that whatever you bless us with, whatever plans you will establish, we ask that we would give you honor and glory and praise you with all our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.